there's so many things going on right now. I just feel like we're really in for something amazing. You know, even though we're breaking through and going through some things, there's a good and expected awesome end to all of it, and that's what we focus on. Amen. And I just love the Passion Translation, as you all know, because I quote out of it pretty much. And in 2 Corinthians 4:8-9, it says, though we experience every kind of pressure, we're not crushed. At times we don't know what to do, but quitting is not an option. Come on. We are persecuted by others, but God has not forsaken us. We may be knocked down, but not out. Come on. Amen? I love that. That's encouraging. It's real, too, isn't it? It's real because things happen, and we might feel that way. But I believe that we're coming to a season where we're saying, enough is enough. I'm really feeling that in my spirit, because it's like there's a point that things start to happen, and it's just like, it just pile on. Do you ever get that? Pile on. And then all of a sudden, you got to say, nope, no more. We're drawing the line. We're taking the authority that God's given us, and we're going to use it. Come on. He said he's given us all authority. So whatever you're going through right now, I believe this is like a continuation of Recover All. Because I think that God wants us to recover all without any fear or doubting and move into that. What we need to do is we need to be in tune to what God is saying about our circumstances, right? What is God saying to you? If it's not positive, if it's negative, you know what voice that is, right? We need to understand what God is always going to be encouraging to us. He's going to lift us up. He's going to give us maybe a new focus as we look towards him and what he has to say about our situation. So we need to learn to listen to what God is saying. How many know that prayer is saying, but prayer is listening, right? So, I mean, do we ever do that? We pray, but do you ever stop and listen? Because God speaks to us, doesn't he? He speaks to everyone here, and he has something to say. But we need to listen to what God is saying and let our circumstances line up to what God is declaring. So what God is declaring in this season. So I believe God wants to bring us to a new level of effectiveness, of unity, of faith, of a new level of manifesting the kingdom everywhere we go. Amen? So I sense this is a time of battle, but this is also a time of great victories. Come on. Amen. We all like victory, but we don't like to go through the battle to have the victory, right? But we fight from a place. This is why I'm encouraged, though. We fight from a place of victory, not to get a victory. We already had the victory, but we fight this good fight of faith because we win. And thanks be to God, like the scriptures say, thanks be to God because he always leads us in what? Triumph, right? So then we need to understand the only way we become overcomers is we have to overcome something, right? So it's just like God knew we were going to go through some things, but he always gave us a promise that we would overcome. So I know maybe some of you are going through that kind of season of overcoming, and sometimes the overcoming might come through an exploit where it happens automatically. You got something, bam, something happens, and you have a release, or you got the answer. You know, God does something so instantaneously. But then there's an overcoming in process, right? And so that God takes us sometimes through a process. Either one, we are overcomers, though. Amen. So I know that, you know, sometimes things take longer than we like. Believe me, I know. But with faith and patience, we, you know, inherit the promises of God. That's what the word says. So it doesn't matter what's thrown at us. We know that we are overcomers in Christ Jesus. Amen? So I want to show you a story in the Old Testament. And I love the Old Testament. So there's so many amazing stories about God's faithfulness, God's goodness through the years, God's power and grace. And so I'm going to take you to 1 Kings 21. And it's about Naboth's vineyard. I love this amazing truth because I believe that God wants to show us something in this passage right now. I think it's a right now passage because, you know, God wants to show us that this is a year that we're making shifts. I hear the Lord say we're making shifts this year, in internal shifts, corporate shifts, family shifts, financial shifts, shifting out of sorrow into joy. Come on, who wants that one? Grab that one. Shifting out of poverty into prosperity. Come on, I'll take that one. How about shifting out of heaviness and wearing the garments of praise? Shifting out of passivity to passion. Come on, we're passionate for Jesus. We're passionate for the Lord and what he wants to do. So God already is in that shift. And so we just need to get with God into that shift. And so we're going to see in this story how this really happened. It was about Naboth's vineyard, but it also was about shifting the land. And so I really decree that our land here in the United States of America is shifting. I really do believe God is on the shift, and he's causing things, stirring things, turning things, reversing things that we are going to see even in the next coming, you know, days, months, years, who knows? But we know God is up to it. Amen? And so he says, God's mandate is what? Making the kingdoms of this earth the kingdoms of our God. See, it's more than us even getting a personal blessing or need met. It has more to do even with the bringing the kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. On earth as in me, in my earthen vessel, on earth in this world, that we bring the heaven realities to earth. Amen? So we may go through difficult seasons, but there's a time when God points and says, enough is enough. Can you say, enough is enough? And so I believe that God wants to have us declare that this morning, even as things need to shift, because we go through difficult seasons, but God says enough is enough. And I just want us to see the miracle working power of God released, as we will be having many multiple testimonies of God's power and grace. Come on. Amen. Because you know what I say, when we go through something, we're in for an upgrade. Come on, who could use an upgrade? I want an upgrade. And even though we go through stuff, we're going to get an upgrade in the spirit. Amen? God's going to show us something. God's going to strengthen us. God's going to cause us to overcome and conquer. God's going to build our faith. He's going to build our trust in him, because he's a faithful God. He's a good God. Isn't he good? Amen. So let's read in Naboth, about Naboth's vineyard in 1 Kings 20, 21. I love this. I love the story. This message kind of came out of prayer, and I'll explain that later, because we were at prayer Tuesday night, and the Lord brought this story to mind. You know, it's always amazing how God will give a message on time, you know, to what we need to hear. So I pray this will be an encouragement to your heart. So, and we're going to read 1 Kings 21 through 3. Sometime later, there was an incident involving a vineyard belonging to Naboth the Jezreelite. And the vineyard was in Jezreel, close to the palace of King Ahab, king of Samaria. Let me have your vineyard to use for a vegetable garden, since it is so close to my palace. In exchange, I will give you a better vineyard, or if you prefer, I will pay you for whatever it's worth. Sounds like not a bad deal, right? I mean, but Naboth replied, the Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my fathers. Whew, Jesus. Let me just say this. This is how the enemy works. He likes to negotiate with us. Come on, we have to understand the wiles of the enemy, the schemes. First Kings 21, 1 through 3. So anyway, so the whole thing in here. So here you see Ahab trying to negotiate and get Naboth's vineyard, which was his inheritance. Your inheritance is very important and cannot be sold. But sometimes we negotiate, or the enemy tries to make us negotiate with our inheritance and have us give up, you know, take the money and run and forget about it. But God has an inheritance we are to hold on to. So we overcome the negotiation of the enemy. The enemy is always trying to negotiate with you. He's trying to negotiate you to keep you out of his best and settle for what's good. Come on. Right? Didn't it sound good? Oh, I'll give you money for, what it's worth. No. Naboth knew the value of his inheritance. So the enemy tries to negotiate you to keep you out of God's rest. How about that? Do you think that's ever happened to you? Where we end up into anxiety, fear, doubt, and we end up being in unrest. He's trying to negotiate you out of God's rest, right? And then he's trying to take the inheritance that the Lord Jesus died to give you. What is your inheritance? Your inheritance is the peace, joy, love of God, your prosperity. And that's not just money. I'm talking about prosperity of soul. And he wants to take that from you. Come on, there's an enemy of our soul. I don't like to capitalize on what the enemy does, though. That's not who I like to capitalize on because I don't like to give him very much of my attention. But I like what Bill Johnson quotes, and he says this: the devil doesn't come in some red suit with horns and pitchfork, but the enemy comes as inspired thought. Think about that. Your thought. The enemy will come in as an inspired thought. Darkness is a result of attempting to find truth without the Word of God. So the Word of God is our antidote for lies and deceptions. But, you know, like Bill Johnson said, inspired thought. It may come in, did God really say? Or will God really take care of me? Or did God really mean this? Causes to come with fear and doubting what God has said. Satan comes in as an angel of light, right? So he makes like he's your buddy and tries to negotiate you off of what God wants to do in your life. Amen? So we don't want to negotiate. We say, I'm not up for sale. Come on. We're not up for sale. We're not going there, right? And so, you know, we've seen that this has happened many times with Israel where they had negotiated with the enemy and had gotten into bondages. But I believe the enemy is in this active season of negotiation because he's actually quivering because he knows his time is coming to an end. And we are rising and overcoming. Amen? We are saying, and we should say in our hearts of hearts, enough is enough. And I believe there is a resonation, or there's a resonating of that in the earth today. Maybe we're not saying it out loud, but when we see certain things accelerate in an immoral way and things that are happening in the earth, we see the acceleration of the enemy, and we think, oh my gosh, is it going to keep on going and then getting worse and worse? But there is a line to be drawn in the sand where we can say, enough is enough. Amen? And I believe we're at that time. I think people are getting tired and getting, I feel like, okay, I'm just going to say it the way I see it. It's just like I feel like we're getting shoved down our throats certain things that are unbiblical and unkingdom, and we're gagging on it. And it's like, I just feel like the time is say, you know, after you get to that point where you're actually gagging on it, you're feeling enough is enough. And so we need to come in agreement with that, what God is doing, because God's purpose is always going to be redemptive and restorative. So we can't settle for what's God's best for us. So, you know, I'm going to ask you, what are you negotiating with the enemy? Think about it. Have you been negotiating with the enemy, allowing negative thoughts, negative things plague your mind, take your mind, cause you to be in unrest, cause you to worry, cause you to doubt? Don't negotiate with the enemy. He will always try to do that. One way he does that, he first usually comes against your identity, who you are in Christ Jesus. That's why it's so important to know who you are in Christ, who God is and who you are in him, your righteousness. How many times, I've talked to so many people that feel like they always have to go over and over and repent and repent and repent and repent to they're repented out. You know, it's just like there's a time we have to just grab hold of the gift of righteousness and know I am the righteousness of Christ, that I don't have to beat myself up, that I accept that, no, I'm not perfect, but the God who gave me his righteousness is perfect, and I can walk in that perfection. I'm not saying sometimes we mess up and we, you know, don't have to say we're sorry, but not to the point that we feel, you know, like an outcast from God. His righteousness is our identity. And so many people don't know their identity. That's why you see certain people gravitate to certain things for their identity. Some people gravitate towards money or cars or the latest handbag or maybe it's a boat. Maybe all these external things that think make up what their identity is about. And it's not about that. It's about what's internal, the eternal presence and the righteousness of God. We see this even in this world today where they talk about sexual identity, gender identity, and so often they have said that over and over again when their identity, and though they don't know it, their identity is in Christ, that they are called to be a lover of God. And even though they relate and they feel like, you know, it's their sex that's their identity, that their gender is their identity, you know, they've missed the point that Christ is their identity because they're created in the image of God. Come on. And so they haven't awakened to that. And even as Christians, we haven't awakened to that sincere, that we will not be jarred out of place of our identity. When we have, I always look at, when I go through things, I know it's a test of my identity. Why do I know that? Because the scripture talks about when Jesus went to the mountain. When he went to the mountain, what happened? His identity was being tested. The enemy came in, he said, oh, if you are the Son of God, you would throw yourself over this mountain and God would send his angels, right? If you are the Son of God, and he's questioning all the time the identity. And Jesus went through that same thing. And you know what? We are going to go through that same thing. But I declare today that you stand strong in the identity of who you are and do not be shaken. And even though things come after you, stand strong in the identity and know that you are strong in the power of his might. You are his treasure. You are his joy. And that your identity is in him is mean that you are strong in what Jesus is strong in. We can be co-heirs with Jesus, and we can know that we can be as God, as Jesus, because he said we are co-heirs with him. And what he inherited, we can inherit it. Isn't that amazing? We don't think about that. We think about, oh, Jesus did this, but Jesus did that, and then we can too, because we are co-partners in that. So it's so important. You know, sin is when we believe a lie about God and ourselves. Think about it. You know, we always think it's about, oh, you did this or you did that. But the sin is really missing the mark of not understanding who God created you, who you are, and who God is, and that God is good. God loves us. God has a plan and a destiny and a purpose. We are called the righteousness of God. How awesome is that? Think about it. You know, we just read these passages and we just kind of flippantly go through them. But have you ever meditated and thought, we're the righteousness? We are righteous. As Jesus is righteous, we are righteous. That's so hard for some of us to grab. You know why? Because it seems impossible. Well, it is, but it's possible through Christ. And it's very simple. Isn't that awesome? The gospel is so simple. It's about receiving that righteousness, not trying to strive. And doesn't that religious spirit just drive you crazy, trying to gain favor with God, try to do everything right, trying to make sure I pray enough, do enough. You know, that's just a stronghold and the MO of a religious spirit trying to make us feel like we have to earn everything. But God said, just receive what Jesus has done. So it says in the Word, it says, it's because of him that you are in Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 1 30. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. And my Mirror translation, I love the Mirror translation. I'm going to just read how they say it. Of God's doing, we are in Christ. He is both our genesis and genius of our wisdom. A wisdom that reveals how righteous, how sanctified and redeemed we really are in him. Come on. I tell you, when we really grab hold of these truths, we change. When we grab hold of these truths, we are not negotiating anymore with the enemy. We are not allowing him to have too many airspace in my mind, because I have to stand on what the Word of God says and what he says. So in 2 Corinthians 5:12, it says, for God made the only one who did not sin to become sin for us, so that we who did not know righteousness might become the righteousness of God through our union with him. There's something about understanding. We are not separated from God. It's not we're going to try to get to God. We are already in union with God. Amen? We don't have to try to do that. But he's always trying to steal our identity, because if he can steal our identity, he can steal our destiny. Our warfare is about, a lot of times, our identity. And we see that again with Jesus on the mountain. For instance, the enemy is looking for places of compromise. He's looking for places that he can negotiate with us. And we say no to that. You know, when we talked today, it was so interesting. The whole thing was really about being a child of God and understanding that. But so many don't understand that they don't have an orphan spirit. We don't have an orphan spirit. We are a child of God. You know, orphan spirit will always question God's, you know, provision, because you know what? You know, we think orphans feel abandonment. But that's not our God. You know, in the battle, our identity will be challenged, but no, when you enter into the victory, you will get this upgrade, and we have the victory now in Christ Jesus. So we are a child of God. We are a child of God. The next thing we negotiate sometimes is about our inheritance. What is our inheritance? Your inheritance is what Jesus died so you could have. Let me just read a scripture. Out of Galatians 4, 6 and 7. And it says this, 6 and 7. It says, and so that we know for sure that we are his true children, God released the spirit of sonship into our hearts, moving us to cry out intimately, my Father, you're our true Father. Now we're no longer living like slaves under the law, but we enjoy being God's very own sons and daughters. And because we're his, we can have access to everything our Father has. For we are heirs of God through Jesus the Messiah. What a powerful scripture that we cry intimately, my Father. God is a father. You know, so many religions, especially like Islamic, they don't believe in God being a father, the nurturing, the nurturement of a father, that God can be that. God is just high authority, but God, our Father, is relational. Didn't Jesus teach us to pray? What was the first words he said? Pray, our Father, because God is relational. So our inheritance is that we have a family, we have healing, we have these things in our inheritance, but we know that sometimes the enemy would like us to negotiate on that. You know, what's the definition of an inheritance? The definition of the inheritance is the portion that falls to me. That's what it means. It means it's a prearranged thing. God's inheritance, it was for you and cannot be taken from you. Do you hear me? What did I say? It's for you. It cannot be taken from you. It's an inheritance. When he died, when he shed his blood, he gave us an inheritance. You know, every time there's a will, We've been through it. There is an inheritance from the will. It talks about that in Galatians. When we come to maturity, you know, we might not receive everything because we won't handle certain things. I wouldn't give a two-year-old a car. You know what I mean? So there's, we have an inheritance, but to realize our inheritance, we have to come to understanding what Christ did for us, and our inheritance is what is our portion and what falls to us. It is what, you know, inheritance is because of not what you earned. Your inheritance is because of who you are. You are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. Isn't that awesome? You don't get it. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to strive for it. It's because of who you are, a son and a daughter of God. And we can't let the enemy have us compromise and negotiate. I'll give you an example in the Bible where there was a compromise. There was a negotiation. And here we can talk. Everybody knows the story. And I'll just say, you know, about Jacob and Esau. Right? Do you know the story? Esau was the firstborn. You know what that meant? He got a double portion because he was the firstborn. And when he came in from hunting and he was hungry and he was very tired and stuff. And so here comes Jacob and saying, you know, or Esau said, I'll give you my inheritance for a bowl of beans, basically. You know, that's what the scriptures kind of say. He said, a stew or whatever it was. He said, I'll give you an eternal blessing to satisfy a temporary feeling. And so often the enemy tries to cause us to negotiate and we get caught up in our feelings. And so even the scriptures say, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. You know why? Because he didn't understand the value of his inheritance and what that meant. And so we need to understand our inheritance is great in God. We have so much. We have so much that God gives us. And we need to stop and thank God for our inheritance. Amen? Can we say, thank you, Lord, for the inheritance that we have? And guess what? It's not for sale. We're not trading it for a bowl of beans. And you know what? A bowl of beans is like our emotions. It's just that we trade it in our emotional. We're going on feelings. We're not going on faith. I get the feeling thing. I have feelings. We all have feelings. But when it comes to certain things, we can't afford to negotiate. We have to go back and say, what is my inheritance? I'm not giving that up. I'm not giving that up. I have to say no. I have to sometimes be adamant because the enemy can keep pounding you and trying to make you negotiate. But we don't go on feelings. We know our inheritance is of the Lord and he's given it to us. So we don't let the enemy talk us out of what our inheritance is, which is our health, peace, joy, righteousness, prosperity, and all the promises of God. Amen? So, but he came... He came not only to save us, but he came to restore us and bring, you know, restoration from any kind of disease, sickness, oppression, depression, discouragement. He came to bring the peace of God. He is God Shalom, the Prince of Peace, the God that is with us. And we need to understand that we can have peace in a battle. Peace is one of our greatest weapons that we have. It means, understand that the Prince of Peace doesn't mean that there's not a battle, but it does mean you can have peace through the battle. Amen? So we can have shalom. No matter what you're going from, your inheritance is the peace of God. Shalom means peace, prosperity, safety. It means favor, to be happy, to be healthy, to be well, complete and whole. Friendship with God and friendship with man. It means rest. And so many of us don't know how to enter into that rest. And so often we're trying to struggle. We're trying to figure it out. You know, I don't want to figure it out. I want to learn how to just trust him. Because my figuring out will just cause more chaos. Cause me to go around and around. Because I'm trying to figure something out that God maybe just says, you don't have to figure it out, child. You just have to trust me. You just have to put yourself, just like that picture Amanda had of God just holding us, just entering into that rest and know that God, he fights our battles for us. He brings us that peace and he brings us that joy. Peace is one of the weapons and inheritances that we have because he is the Prince of Peace. And, You know, I just declare today, if you are not having peace, you can grab hold of the inheritance of peace for you this morning, because we belong to the Lord. We're a citizen of His kingdom. The devil has no more control over you. God has control over us because we've submitted ourselves to the Lord, haven't we? But when the enemy comes in, sometimes we have to say, enough is enough. And let righteous indignation rise up. Who's been there before? All right. When we say we see so many things, we say, that's it. No more. I'm drawing the bloodline. No more. I'm not going to have this. No more. So we have to lay hold of that inheritance. We have to believe in the God of miracles. We have to take our and believe radically that God is more than able to save us. And so we lay hold of this inheritance. You know, it was against Jewish law to give up your inheritance. It was not to be sold. It wasn't to be given up. And so we got to say, this is our inheritance. It will not be taken from us. The things Jesus died for will not be taken from us. Amen. So how many of you went and saw the movie Sound of Freedom? Awesome story, right? And it was about the children. But remember what one of the sayings was that he said repeated over and over? God's children are not for sale. You know, when we were praying about on Tuesday morning, we were praying, and we were praying for the whole human trafficking child thing. And I read it, and all of a sudden I heard, children are an inheritance from the Lord. And then I was thinking, our children are not for sale. And I just thought how God is saying, we are not for sale, our children are not for sale, and we say enough is enough. Amen? And many of us have loved ones, you know, sons, daughters, I do, and want them to know and come into their greatest inheritance of who the Lord is and who they are. So I just felt like when God highlighted that to me, they are Naboth's vineyard. They are trying to be sold. That's what the Lord was speaking to me. It's like, this is Naboth's vineyard. They're trying to be sold, and we have to say no. We have to say no, our children will not be sold. And, you know, it was just, it was so strong. I felt like this is a season of saying all these things that we are negotiating or allowing or just being not being passive on, that we're not standing, even if it is, you know, I'm not saying you have to start an anti-trafficking ministry unless God calls you that, but at least pray and know that our prayers have power. But our children are not for sale. We are not for sale. We are not negotiating with the enemy. Ooh, Jesus, I'm telling you, that was so hard. We're just crying out for that through prayer and through action that we see children freed from this. Because I remember at the end of the story, they were talking about that it's $150 billion business, and there's more slaves today than they were ever in 1864. And just, you know, we've been playing church too much and not have been active in the culture, and we can make a difference. We still can make a difference. Amen. So the one thing we cannot negotiate, and which ties into this, is the call of God, because we are ecclesia. And in Matthew 16, 15 through 19, it talks about how that we are the legislative force in the world. We are, the church has power and has authority. And so we cannot just take that for granted, but no, we stand in great authority that God has given us. It's a God-given authority, and we can't negotiate that call. In fact, some of us might feel like they want to give up what maybe God's called you to do because it's hard. But you know what? God didn't always call us to what's easy. You know, sometimes I think we're pretty kind of, we like to be comfortable Christians. And what does that saying go? God didn't call the... He called people to be... Conflict the comfortable, but comfort the afflicted. You know, and so it's just like not in a bad way, but just that we move out of passion and concern and love what God says. You know, there was a really good teaching that when we went down to Dallas where Dutch Sheets gave it, and it was so amazing. It was talking about the thrust of the kingdom of God is one, like in Mark 16, to preach the good news of the gospel. And so we're going to do that Friday night as we go to Friday Night Live, because we're going to bring hope. We're going to bring love. We're going to bring joy. We're going to bring, just the love of God to people that we talk to. But then there's also Matthew 28, where it says, all authority of the universe has been given to me. Now go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he's saying, go for it. We're called to bind. We're called to loose. You know, I love what Cassie said last week. She said, we have to bind the minds of evil and loose great faith in the earth, that we will see, you know, we are building the kingdom of God. And so what is forbidden in heaven can be forbidden on earth, and what is loosed in heaven can be loosed on earth. And that's a whole lot when you think about it. Amen? So we need to understand, we can't, there's no negotiating on our call. We accept our call, and then we're thankful for our call. It might be hard. We've had challenges. I mean, every time we get through something, there seems something else. But you know what? If it wasn't for the call and thanking God for the call and just believing God for restoration and fruit of the call, you know, we would give up. But we know God is a rewarder of those who seek them and are obedient. So we never can negotiate with the enemy about our obedience. The next thing, negotiate your obedience. The enemy wants to negotiate with you over your obedience. We know that God has called us, but that doesn't mean our flesh doesn't get tired. That doesn't mean our flesh, it's not easy. Sometimes we do struggle, but understand also there is grace for you to do what God has called us to do. You know, sometimes we're worried more about our comfort, though, than doing the will of God. Can I say that? What's the easiest way out? You know what I mean? It's just like, you know, I mean, I get that. I love comfort, too. But the thing is, God, let us be bound to the mind of God and do God's will on earth, no matter what. When he says, you know, lay down our lives, what does that look like to you? What does that look like to you? Does that mean we get everything we want when we want it? Laying down our lives is just, Lord, whatever you want, whatever you want to do. You know, do you know the group, the Moravians? Remember hearing about them, how they had this great prayer movement and they sacrificed so much for the kingdom of God, and they were real big on missionaries, sending out missionaries. And there's a story, they said that when they would send out their missionaries, you know, they would stand at the shoreline and they would say, you know, may the Lamb receive the reward of his suffering. They say, may the Lamb receive the reward of their suffering. You know, it's just like he suffered. Jesus suffered, and he's going to get his reward through us. And laying down our lives might be part of that. It's getting not what always what we think we need or want, but God will provide for sure what we need in that process, and we can trust him. You know, one of their sayings is, the Lamb has conquered, let us follow him. And I just thought, he has conquered, let us follow him. That's a great charge. That's a great charge. But sometimes our mind, our attitudes are out of alignment. I know that never happens to you, right? Or our attitude is never out of alignment. But we have to go back and we have to say, Lord, you know, I repent. Change my mind, that I would think like you think, that I have the mind of Christ, that no matter what it looks like, that I'm pressing through, I'm going through, and I know that, God, you are with me because you called me, because, God, you're using all of us. And it might not be easy, but that doesn't matter. Just constantly check my heart, Lord, that my flesh would be obedient to you. The enemy's going to have you negotiate your obedience. And sometimes it's a matter of, you can kind of brush God off. Have you ever done that when God tells you to do something sometimes? It's like, okay, maybe later. And it's just like God will say, no, now you need to do that. In a loving, gentle way, he'll always bring correction, because we are sons and daughters of God. So that means we are disciplined by the Lord in love. And, you know, we are being trained up to be and reign like Jesus Christ. Amen? So, but one of the ways the enemy comes is by intimidation. Intimidation is like the spirit of Jezebel. Because Jezebel, as you know in the story, is, you know, was full of witchcraft. And so witchcraft is really a counterfeit spiritual authority. It is using a spirit other than the Holy Spirit to dominate, manipulate, or control others. And sometimes that spirit of witchcraft comes in. I don't want to capitalize on that too much, but I know that intimidation sometimes can come in and try to tell you and intimidate you to get you off track of what you're supposed to do and who you are. Amen? So our primary defense in this all, though, remember this, it's more to understand this, is that we do have spiritual authority to walk in our true identity by establishing our lives on truth and trusting the Lord to accomplish what concerns us. It's essential to become free from these influences, but to trust God. What is God saying? Before you take on a thought, before you take on an attitude, have we ever stopped and said, but what do you say about this, Lord? You know, and it's just like we need to, like I usually say with the kids, to check yourself before you wreck yourself kind of attitude, and need to understand that God does speak to us, because the enemy has an eye on our inheritance, but we cannot and we refuse to be intimidated, because the blood is greater. Amen? The blood is greater. We don't hear much about the blood anymore, but that's the whole fact. And we're trying to do it on our own discipline, our own will, you know, willpower, when we're not called to do that. We're called to move in the power of his might, that the joy of the Lord is our strength, that the blood of Jesus can outpower any work of darkness that the enemy has caused. Amen? So we need to apply the blood. We need to understand what the blood is and what we can declare, because when we apply the blood, we're applying the work, the finished work of Jesus Christ, of who he is and what he bought for us. Amen? So we're saying we're not backing up. We're not relenting. Amen? And so we decree that we're not giving up. That, you know, it's so important, though, that, you know, sometimes the Spirit has a relentless campaign, just like Jezebel in this story. Jezebel was getting Ahab to get the field that was not Naboth's. And so she was an influence on Ahab. But this is how she ruled in Israel. Just to backtrack a little bit in the historic perspective, she was trying to get, she had a campaign to get rid of all of Israel's worship to Yahweh and bring the worship of Baal. So, but we can't give up, because we know God is greater. Amen? Thank you, Lord, that there's life in the blood. And that, you know what, we need to stay connected as a family, as Christians, as the family of God, all of us, because we can't do this. We're not to do this alone. We're a body ministry. We're to work together. We are to be together to encourage, because there's safety in numbers. Isn't that right? There's counsel in numbers. And we need to understand that God has given us even one another to move and have our being in Him through Christ Jesus and in all of us. How encouraging are we to one another at times we need it, right? So I just feel like what the Lord was saying with so many things right now, we decree that enough is enough. We decree enough is enough. Because the end of that story, the spirit of Elijah came. And you have to read the whole story. But Elijah came and he confronted Ahab and Jezebel and threw them down. And they were removed. And that's such a good way, right? And so we are the spirit of Elijah. Was there a song, Spirit of Elijah? This is the spirit of Elijah. We have Elijah, the spirit of Elijah in us, the prophetic people we are, that we can proclaim and declare those things that are already what the Lord had won in battle. And so all this that was going on in the land, notice though, but it was the taking of Naboth's vineyard that God finally stepped in and said, enough is enough. And I totally really feel that because the spirit has been going, the evilness of what is going on with children, trying to do to children, that God is saying, enough is enough. And so we're gonna see some things that God is going to do in the next couple times. I think this movie was a breaker to be put out to make us aware, to wake us up. And you know, sometimes in your places of your most difficult or your battle is where God comes in, and He said, "Vengeance is mine." He comes in and He brings justice, and you can trust God. So the very place that the enemy has tried to rob you, He's going to bring a place of vengeance. And you just have to stand and see. You know, and I was thinking about the kids again. And I was thinking about how the word says that your offspring shall possess the gates of the enemy. And so you wonder why right now the enemy is so hard on getting kids right now. And so we know, though, this is the word of God. Our offspring, our children, possess and will possess the gates of the enemy. So every season is for our advancement that God wants to bring. So I'm grateful that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. Don't ever think someone's not praying for you, because Jesus is at the throne praying for us. But He wants us to co-partner with Him in this victory. We know divine love and power will work for us and triumph over all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, Father, I thank You. If anybody here just feels like they don't have any peace, that they're going through a struggle right now, we want to pray over you and just pray shalom, shalom, the peace of God. If anybody's going through a struggle, just raise your hand and someone gather around that person. See, and we're going to pray for each other. Could you just look around and see who you can lift up and pray for? And so Father, we just thank You right now. We speak shalom, shalom to every situation, that Lord, Your rest, Your peace is our rest in You is our victory. And so, Father, as we see these things, we don't get agitated. As we see these things, we speak the name of Jesus, right? We speak the name of Jesus, a name above every name, that, Lord, we can look at that thing and say, but there's restoration for that. Jesus has restoration for that. Jesus has redemption for that. And so, Father God, right now, I thank You for touching those right now that need just encouragement, that need need to know that God is for them, and if God is for them, what could be against them? That God, that we can declare enough is enough, and God comes in. He comes in even as the enemy comes in like a flood, but he comes in. We lift up a standard and know that God is our source, our strength, our power. That Lord, right now we can even laugh at the enemy. Sometimes we forget. We can laugh at our enemies. Ha! We could say, ha, no, but God is greater still. But God's grace is greater yet. Where sin abounds, grace more abounds. That we can live and move in the power of grace, of your empowered presence, Lord. We thank you that you're the spirit of truth, that you're the spirit of grace. And whatever we need, God, that you break every lie over us, that we stand as mighty sons and daughters of God, that we take and decree that our inheritance is strong, and it is not for sale. It is not going to be sold. So, Father, we thank you for your inheritance. We thank you for the call on us as the church to be the church in this world, to make a difference, Father. So, Father, we decree that our effectiveness will be even stronger, Lord. Come on. Father, as we are getting stronger in you, as we say enough is enough, as we demonstrate the authority and power of Jesus Christ, we are going to stand up and know that we rule and reign with you. Father, there's no lack in you. There's no emptiness in you. There's only fullness of joy in the presence of the Lord. And so, Father, we thank you. We thank you that your joy is our strength this morning. And even as we look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith, we know you will complete and complete the work you started within us, that you've never abandoned us, that we surely are your children. We learn as children just to depend on you so innocently, just so without question. Get us back to that, Lord. We can just know that we are covered by you, that whatever is set against us, God, you are our victory, and we put our faith and trust in you. So we speak the name of Jesus. Can we just sing that? I speak the name of Jesus. Let's sing that. Going out, because we're going to declare the word of God. We're going to declare it. It's the name of Jesus. Amen? Come on. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.